Welcome to Soldiers for Christ this evening. We are about to get started with our Bible study. The minister of the SALT crew just walked in, so I do have somebody to pray me in. And we're going to get started. We are going to get started. Let me see. I think I need Jeremiah chapter 8 as well. So, how you doing, officer? I don't know what to call you, officer or minister. I guess it depends on what time of day I catch you.
Hey, man. What's up, bro? All is good. All is well. God is moving. God is good.
Hallelujah. Okay, Matthew. Jeremiah.
We pray for you today.
You pray for me today?
Ooh, we pray for you Sunday during prayer service.
Okay. I'm going to grab my glasses here. I'm coming back, all the people who are watching me. We are live. Now we're ready to go. Hit that theme music, Pastor Ben. I dragged that. Okay, let's pray in.
Yep. Get a little bit closer.
Yeah, they can't see you.
There you go. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you
tonight
in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank you for this meal that we're about to partake of your word. Father God, we pray that you would anoint this message with your Holy Spirit. May it go tonight throughout all of the earth to prepare people for what is to come. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would use us. Use us to plant seeds for your kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Give us the wisdom. Give us the courage to say the right things to the people who are about to be left behind.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, grant us repentance. We ask to be forgiven of all of our sins. Draw us into a bridal relationship with you.
Yes,
Lord.
So that we're ready. So that we're looking, not just for an escape, but Lord, to be with you.
Amen.
God, you are our treasure. We thank you. We praise you. Help us, Lord, to do your perfect will while there's still time. We commit the rest of this time to you. We thank you for Pastor Sandy. Speak through him tonight, Lord.
Yes.
We love you. You are our first love. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know where to start. I'm gonna let the Lord lead me in where to start. I think the best place to start is actually in the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 1. And if you have your notes with you, that would be good. If you don't, it's okay. I'm going to read this to you. And it's a little Hebrew discovery I made today. And I wanted to know, it surprised me that the same way you say summer in biblical Hebrew, Chayetz or Chetz is the same way you say in Hebrew, Chetz. So the summer and the end is basically the same word. And I would have written it on the board, but I'm hoping enough people have their notes. So the Kof and the Tzadik makes the word Chetz, which is both the word summer and the word end, okay? And it means end of time. So in Amos chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, he says, Amos, what do you see? And he said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people Israel. I will not pass them anymore. So he says two things in this, these first two verses. He says, Amos, what do you see? And he says, a basket full of summer fruit. And the basket full of summer fruit is the word ketz in Hebrew. And then he says the word ketz again, but spelt a little bit different without the yod. He says the end, good, because the end has come upon my people. And it says, and I will not pass them by anymore. So when I'm looking at that chapter and he's talking about the future of the of Israel beginning their judgment, this is the chapter in Amos chapter 8 where he begins to talk about the end is about to come upon my people and what they are about to go through. I'm going to slow down there because I have to do something. There is a guy, and I want you guys to remember this name. His name is Daniel Adams. Okay, he is a pretend Christian and a pretend healer and a pretend man of God. He is going around using this Kundalini spirit to kind of prove to people that he's this godly person. And so he goes in this mall and he walks toward this kid and his presence pushes the kid back. Now I know that's Kundalini spirit, right? That's that whole same thing where I'm gonna make a whole room fall down at one time, or you come and then you feel the pressure and you fall down. It's a Kundalini spirit, but this is the way they get famous, okay? They go out and they try and they put it on camera so that you can see them healing somebody. And then, so I want to let you know, and I have to do this first before we get into the Bible study. I have to let you know, do not go places where they feel like they have to make a big show over praying over you. And they got to make you fall down. And they might make you squirm on the ground. And if you are squirming on the ground, it's because of a Kundalini spirit that they're using. If you're ever in an atmosphere like this, get out as soon as possible, because whatever way the church is operating should be the way the church operated from the beginning of time. Okay? Only one time Jesus made people fall down, and that's when they were coming to arrest them, and they said, they were asking where Jesus was, and he said, I am he. And when he said, I am he, the soldiers fell back. Okay? That's the only time that Jesus use that type of force and power to let them know that who they were messing with, okay? Jesus never used that a force to make a person fall down and squirm and start speaking in tongues and have a whole room on the floor squirming around and screaming while he's, when he told a demon to come out, it was not a big show, okay?
That's true.
So if someone feels like they need to get a camera and go out so that other people can see them on YouTube healing people, that's a big red flag right there. If I'm going out healing people, I don't need it to be on camera. I'm trying to produce an audience because I'm trying to make money and I'm trying to get. So his name is Daniel Adams. Now he's linked into another guy called Truth Seekers. And they talk about this Kundalini spirit and having an experience with Jesus and opening yourself up and clearing your mind. This is all yoga, yeah. Kundalini talk that they're talking about. And they really looked up, they had a thing about this one guy, he's a well-known Freemason, about how he found, how he met Jesus. And the experience that this spirit came in and told him he was Jesus. And he says, see, this is the type of experience all Christians want to experience. That is not the type of experience you want to have. You don't want to have some spirit come in and tell you, you know what I mean? This is, people have experience with Christ, but you know if it's Christ because it's not, is not pushing you to the ground. It's not making it, you know what I mean? It's a show, okay? If it's not a show, then don't use the camera.
Right.
If you're really healing people, don't use the camera. Just go do it. So I sent it to Pastor Ben. Tomorrow, I hope Pastor Ben can print it for me, because I want you to see his picture. I want you to be aware of them. I want you to be aware of what they're doing, because what they're doing is not from God. Remember, he talks a lot about Jesus and the Father and all this stuff, but just talking about Jesus does not mean God called you to do what you're doing.
That's right.
And you can talk about Jesus and be all about Satan.
Yep.
We have pastors that are talking about Jesus and they're 33-degree Masons.
Yep.
So I'm just saying, I'll show it to you guys tomorrow, but I want to make sure that you understand that this guy is out there, and don't ever fall into needing to have someone push you on the ground and yell at you and tell the demon to come out and all this stuff and make your leg grow back. You know, I'm going to make your legs are not as long as they're supposed to be. I'm going to make them all grow back perfectly. All this stuff that they're doing, trying to use this spirit so you can think that they're really from God and they're really imparting into you some other spirit.
Yeah.
Don't go to shows. You understand? Somebody having a deliverance ministry night, don't go. First thing, you don't know them.
Right.
Okay? I need to know you before you lay hands on me. Lay hands on man, on no one suddenly, right? And don't let anybody lay hands on you suddenly, okay? All right. I did my pastor, pastor stuff. Now we can get back into the Bible study.
Amen.
Okay. So, summer... because Jesus says that you know that summer is near. So I started looking up this word summer, and the word summer, which talks about the summer fruit, ketz, and the end is also ketz. And so you got two words, the end and summer, coming together, okay? And we'll put it on the board tomorrow for the Hebrew, but I want you guys to know that in this chapter, in chapter 8, he says, the Lord says, show me, behold. He says, what do you see, Amos? And he says, Amos says, what do you see? He said, I see a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon the people of the people of Israel. I will not pass over them again. So the summertime and the end of all things are linked. Okay? When it comes to Israel about to enter into judgment. Okay? So let's go to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7, this is what it says. It says, woe is me, for I am like those who gather summer fruit. There we have summer fruit. You know how you say this word, summer fruit? The same as you say, ketz. Summer fruit is one word in the Hebrew, ketz. It says, for I am like those who gather summer fruit. Now, this is God talking. And because God really wants to collect the summer fruit, which Israel is this fruit harvest. And he says, like those who glean vintage grapes, there is no cluster to eat. The first ripe fruits, which so desire, the faithful man has perished from the earth. So now you get into the Hebrew, and it's the Tzaddik, righteous, or Kesed, saints have avad, disappeared from the earth, okay? So in the Hebrew, it's saying righteous people have disappeared, have vanished from the earth, okay? But when does this happen? When he's out looking for summer fruit, okay? Because what I'm trying to do is say there has to be a reason why Jesus says this generation will not pass. And then he says, when all these things happen, know that summer is near. Because summer from the Old Testament is linked to the beginning of the judgment starting. Okay, so here's the judgment that is about to start. I was in my King James, New King James, but I'm going to go. Huh? You like that one? I could keep reading it, but I got all my notes in the other one. So so in Micah 7, it said, "What misery is mine? I am like one who gathers summer fruit after gleaning of the vineyard." Okay, so God is letting you know the event is happening when? At the beginning of summer, at the summertime, okay? The gleaning of the vineyard. There is no cluster of grapes to eat, none of the early figs that I crave. The godly have disappeared from the earth. Not one upright man remains. All lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. So all the righteous people have disappeared. Now, listen what God is saying. After all the righteous people disappear, he says there's no more righteous people left on the earth. So no one who is still here, God considers to be his people.
Right.
They can now become loyal to God and believe in Jesus and get saved in the tribulation. But once the rapture happens, God said, all my people are here. All God's people will be in heaven. So he says, not one upright man remains. All men lie in wait to shed blood. Each hunts his brother with a net. Both hands are skilled in doing evil. The ruler demands a gift. The judge accept a bribe. The powerful dictate what they desire. They all conspire together. The best of them, those who have been left behind, are like a briar. And the most upright of them is like a thorn bush. What is the thorn bush connected to?
Satan.
So everybody that's left has the personality of Satan. Okay? So he says the most upright of them, the best human being down there is like a thorn hedge. It has a mentality of Satan. So when the rapture happens, what the earth turns into, not turns into, where I guess it does. I guess it's already that way,
right?
But something's holding it back,
yeah.
Okay? And that's the Holy Spirit and the church. The day of your watchman has come, okay? The day God visits you. Now is the time of their confusion. You see that? So now at this time, he says, do not trust neighbors. I'm talking to people who don't want to accept Christ now. Once the church happens, the aliens did not take the Christians. Okay? Because they're going to lie to you. And I want you to know this. If you want to accept Christ during the tribulation, do not trust your neighbor. Don't you go run telling him, I'm thinking about being a Christian and not getting the mark. You better keep that to yourself. And it says, do not trust your neighbor. It says, put no confidence in a friend, even with her who lies in your embrace. Be careful of your words. Okay? So he said, a son dishonors his father, a daughter rises up against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and man's enemies are the members of his own household. So this is how it's going to be when the church leaves. Okay? I'm not trying to get people to are we on a church membership drive?
No.
We're not on a membership drive, okay? I'm not trying to get church members. I'm trying to get people to wake up, because I'm going to tell you right now, you need Jesus Christ in your life, not just for the tribulation. There's another place that's called hell. That there are people that are in hell that are like, I wish I could go through the tribulation. I wish I could go back on the earth and go through the tribulation. It would be better than hell. So somebody has lied to us to make you think that this is about you being a good Christian and going to church. This is about you falling in love with Jesus Christ, studying his word, staying at his feet, not have being faithful to him in what you do and how your lifestyle is, so that you miss out on hell and you miss out on tribulation.
Yeah.
And you gain eternal life and you gain the home that he's built you. This is a great deal. So I want you to know why I'm telling you this, because summer is near. Time is running out. Okay? We're not.
Yeah.
Time is running out. Lear, let's finish the Bible study before I get to going to the board. Okay, let's go to the next scripture. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 20. Okay. Now listen to this scripture, because it says the harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the heart of the daughter of my people, I am hurt, I am mourning, astonishment has taken hold of me. Now, someone sent me this and said, we have to look at this scripture, because it says the harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. So is that the church talking?
No.
That's Israel's talking. But listen what they're saying. The summer has passed. The harvest has passed. What harvest? The wheat harvest. Summer has passed, and it says, and we're not saved. So this is Israel talking about this summer harvest of wheat. I posted a picture of Ayala N. Gundeshit and a friend of hers in a wheat field in Israel. That wheat field goes forever. I mean, it is wheat harvest time in the summer. And this harvest is about to take place, which is the church. Because John says the wheat harvest belongs to Jesus, and the wheat harvest is the church. He will gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will surely burn. So he's about to gather the second harvest of people out of the earth. Old Testament saints are gone, okay? All the Old Testament saints are already in heaven. There's no, they get raptured at the end. That's bad teaching. All the Old Testament saints are already in heaven after Jesus resurrected, being the first fruit. They left out of their graves, broke them open, and went into the holy city in heaven. So the Old Testament saints are already with Jesus. Okay? The Old Testament saints were the barley harvest. The church is the wheat harvest. So now it's time to take the wheat harvest out of the earth. This is all about God harvesting and bringing a harvest of souls into heaven, okay?
Amen.
The tribulation is considered the fruit harvest. In Israel, every year they have what? Barley harvest, wheat harvest, fruit harvest. Then they start over. Then in the spring they have the barley harvest, the wheat harvest, and the fruit harvest. God says, I'm coming to earth, but I'm coming to earth so that I can be a seed and die. Then I'm going to be the first fruit of the harvest of what? Resurrected souls. So when Jesus comes out of the grave, he's going to have a harvest of people who come out of the grave or who get resurrected bodies like him. So this is all about a harvest. This summer harvest is upon us. Okay. So let me see if I need to. Here, let's go to, did we read Jeremiah 8:20? Okay. I don't know if I need to read more of that, because I really want you to know, if you go back and read Jeremiah chapter 8, and I mean read the whole chapter, so that you know and understand, this is Israel. They have gone through some trouble. And they know that judgment is about to come upon them. So they're prophesying about a future time when judgment is going to come. So they say these words, and these words are not the church. These words are Israel. The summer is ended and we are not saved. The harvest is past. The summer is ended and we are not saved. So Israel will say that when the church leaves. Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. Says, now learn the lesson of the fig tree, right? Learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branches are ready, when his branches are already tender and put forth his leaves, you know that what is near?
Summer.
Summer is near. Now, they're asking Jesus about what? When is the end? So he tells them everything that's going to happen. He said there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be all of these things that are going to happen. There'll be famines. All of these things that are going to happen. Then he says also something is going to happen that we need to understand. This is what he also says. He says, then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great glory. So not only are you going to see World War I, World War II before the generation is over, you're also going to see Jesus coming on a cloud in glory. He says all this is going to happen before the fig tree generation is over. And so he says 70 years, but 80 because of their arrogance and their pride, which is 1948, 2028. Is the end of this 80-year prophecy that God has in Scripture. So we are in 2001, and what is 2001? 7 years before the end of the count.
2021.
Yeah, yeah. 2021 to 2028. So we are at the end of this 80-year count, and there's only about 70 years left on it. I think 2,649 days. I mean, from June 20th, it'll be that amount of time, right? So the 7 years is 2,520 days, okay? And you got to subtract 180 days because the church is gone before the tribulation begins, okay? So the amount of time that's on that calendar, on that generation, that last generation, is coming to an end. And so we're at this pivotal time where the wheat harvest is upon us. We're in 2021, 7 years before the end of the generation. The world has gone crazy. Oh, Biden's in the White House. Everything's kind of going crazy, right? So now they're going to try to say, oh, everything's going to get back to normal. Don't worry, your stimulus checks are going to be, just trust us, right? But I'm trying to tell you what the Bible says. And what does the Bible says? They will not get better. Things are going to wax worse and worse until Christ returns. So don't expect utopia to come from the government. I don't care how many stimulus checks they promise you, okay? It's going to get worse, and the church is going to leave, and tribulation is coming. This is the truth, okay?
Amen.
So, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 32, it says, surely I say to you, this generation will not pass until all these things take place. That includes the second coming. So that means the end when he actually comes back. All right. That pushes Israel's last generation all the way to 2028. Now, I'm going to show you how we got here. Can I go to the board, Pastor Ben? Okay. I'm going to show you guys how we got here. Because everybody's on it. Because we even had an email, right? Now, this same thing is on your paper. So you can look at your paper. It's on the second page. It says summer solstice. Now, Tekufa is called a Tekufa in Hebrew. The four times mentioned the Tekufah in scriptures, okay? Because you have summer solstice, you have the winter, well, you have the summer solstice, the spring equinox, the winter what? They call it the winter solstice, and then the fall equinox, right? Okay, so all of these are mentioned in scripture. So God knows that these four things exist and they govern different seasons that are in the world, okay? He also knows that the spring equinox begins the new year, okay? Now, the spring equinox is going to start the beginning of spring. Now we have a problem. Here's the problem with Israel, because they have 30-day calendars and they're counting by the moon. Watch what they do, okay? Don't look at this part. That's last week's. Okay, so this year, in March 14th, 2021, they walked outside and they saw a new moon. And it was Nisan 1st. So they said, hey, it's Nisan 1st. How do you know? Because there's a new moon, and that's the beginning of the month, and it's Nisan 1st. Okay, but wait a minute. The scripture says you have a rule. If Nisan 1st falls on the 14th, but the spring equinox don't fall until March 20th, that means you can't start your new year until after the spring equinox. You guys with me? So that means they can't start Nisan 1st until after the spring equinox. So since it's on March 20th, they have to wait, not just till March 20th, they have to wait till the first new moon after March 20th. So they wait, they're supposed to wait around till March, till the next year, when the next month when the new moon comes up, which was April 13th. So now you have Nisan 1st landing on April 13th. If you do the calendar right. Listen, God doesn't add another month at the end of the year. That's what Israel does. You understand? To get this all correct, they just start Nisan, then they just add another month at the end of the year, and that gets us back straight. God doesn't do that in heaven. God told me to go look in the book and tell me if you see Adar 2. And I saw Adar, which is the 12th month, but there is no Adar 2 added to the Bible, because there is no such thing as Adar 2 if you do what God tells you to do. Okay? So here it is. March 14th, new moon, Nisan 1st. They just say, hey, it's Nisan 1st. Let's go with our calendar. So you know what that does? That makes them getting ready for Passover. But this all wrong, because now the spring equinox comes and you have to wait till you see the next new moon. It doesn't come till a month later, April 13th. And now April 13th becomes Nisan 1st. Okay, so now it's Nisan 1st. The next thing, 14 days later, it's the 14th of Nisan. And what day is that? Passover. So now it's Passover. This is the day that Christ died on the cross. Now, after Passover is the Feast of First Fruits, because Jesus came out the ground. Now, the Feast of First Fruits, you're going to start counting 50 days called the Omer. You can't start the 50-day count of Omer till the Sabbath, to the day after the Sabbath, okay? So after Saturday, now they're allowed to start counting the 50 days. So here, I will show you on the, it says here, counting the Omer, the next moon. Okay, so April 26th ended up being on a Monday, right? It's a Monday. That's the 14th of Nisan. They have to wait till Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday, they can now start counting the Omer, okay? Because it has to be the day after the Sabbath, because it lands on a Sunday after the 49th, after the seventh Sabbath. So, because you're going to count 50 days. Let's go. Okay, so Nisan 14th was April 26th. Now, it's on a Monday, so you got to wait till You got to wait till after Saturday before you start counting the Omer. They started counting, we started counting the Omer May 2nd. And so from May 2nd to May 31st, that's 30 days. Then 20 days of June, and you're at the 50th day of the Omer count, which is Pentecost. So the whole world, well, the church is waiting on the true Pentecost. In heaven, do you know when they celebrated Passover, heaven didn't celebrate Passover? And you know, if they celebrate something that their calendar is off, remember, the feast days were in heaven before they were in the earth. You understand? So God keeps the calendar that he set. He knows the equinox and the solstice. He knows I'm not going to start a new month until it's the first new moon after the spring equinox. Okay, so he stays on calendar. So anyway, if you didn't understand any of that, June 20th becomes the heavenly Pentecost. Okay? Pentecost is the day of what? That the church married, that Israel married God under the huppah at Mount Sinai. 50th day is the day that we received the Holy Spirit. The 50th day is also in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. So let's go check that out. Let me see if I got. We'll get back to that. Now, okay, here we are. Now, I want you guys to understand this. This is Bible study, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Israel comes out of Egypt on what day? Nisan 14th. You see that? Nisan comes, they come out of Egypt on Nisan 14th. Okay? 50 days later, they have Pentecost. Okay? But this is not what we call Pentecost, they call they're calling the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, right? They call it the Feast of Weeks because it's seven Sabbaths of counting. Then the 50th day is the celebration. You understand? So they come out of Egypt, and then for 50 days they're counting, and on the 50th day they come under Mount Sinai. And God tells Moses, I have a covenant for the people. If they'll agree to keep the covenant, I'll come down and marry them, and we can begin a covenant together. So on the 50th day, well, 3 days before, Moses tells the people, listen, God's going to come down. First, he wants to know, do you agree to marry him? Do you agree with to obey him? And they all said, yes, we will obey. He says, okay, prepare yourself. In 3 days, God is going to come down at Mount Sinai and marry you. So he said, but tell him, don't go near the mountain. Stay back. And God comes down on the 50th day. Fire is bellowing. The mountain is shaking. They hear the voice of God. They're all shaking and trembling. And they're like, okay, this is the worst wedding I've ever been to. But tell God thank you anyway, right? But that's the wedding they had, but they had it on the 50th day. What does Pentecost mean?
50.
50 is just Greek for Shavuot. Shavuot is the Feast of Weeks. And in the English it's called or in the Greek it's called Pentecost, and we call it the 50th day, or we call it Pentecost as well. So this 50th day that is coming upon us is all about marriage. Now, when did Jesus Christ die on the cross? 14th of Nisan. Okay? When did he resurrect? Sunday. So that's after the Sabbath, they started counting 50 days. 40 days he resurrected, he walked amongst them. Then he tells them to go and wait, and God's going to give you the Holy Spirit. So they go and they're waiting in the upper room. And then all of a sudden the Spirit comes down and they get filled with the Spirit on the exact same day that the Jews married God under Sinai, right? So it's the same day. Now, is that over, or is there another day, a 50th day that's going to happen, that there's going to be a marriage? Yes. Now watch this. Are you in Hebrews chapter 12? It says, therefore, God is scorn and shame. Make every effort. I'm making sure I'm at the right spot. Oh, here it is. Okay, here we go. Now, let's start at verse 17. Afterwards, as you know, we'll start at verse 18. Chapter 12, verse 18. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire. That's what happened in Mount Sinai, right? To a dark gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further words be spoken to them. But they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touched the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, I am trembling with fear. Because God is coming down on Mount Sinai to marry them, right? Now watch this. He says, but your marriage is not going to be like. He says, but you have come to Mount Zion. You're coming to another mountain, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirit of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a greater word than the blood of Abel. So God's saying, when the church gets to heaven, it's going to be just like it was at Mount Sinai, except better. Okay, but he's making reference to you to let you know your wedding day is synchronized with what happened at Sinai, what happened at Pentecost, and what's going to happen with the church. Okay, so understand that Pentecost prophecy is not over till the church leaves and gets married. Pentecost is upon us. Let's continue. Now, why should we be excited, Pastor Sandy, about the rapture? Haven't we been talking about the rapture for a long time? Yes, it's like talking about the sun coming up. Okay? Because it didn't come up, don't think it's not coming up.
Right.
All right? I told you 4 o'clock, it didn't come up. Okay, I told you 5 o'clock, it didn't come up. Okay, but one thing for absolute sure, that sun's coming up. You understand? The rapture is a done deal, it's coming up. No matter whether you believe in it or you don't believe in it, I dare you to wake up in the morning and say, I don't believe the sun's coming up, I dare it to come up. It's not gonna help, understand? So the rapture is something that's going to happen whether you believe in it or not believe in it. Okay, and so why should you even be excited about it though? Why should you be excited about it? Let's look at some of the things. Now, in 2020, which was 120 counts in the book of Proverbs, in the book of Psalms, in the 120th year, in the book of Psalms, in 2020, what did we experience a worldwide judgment? Yes. Was the whole world under judgment in 2020? Yes. Was it the 120th year? Yes. Okay. So now, what was the judgment based upon? and you say corona, you would be right, but you would have to say the lie about corona, okay? Because Psalm says, deliver us from lies. He says, they're going to lie to you in 2020. This is going to be a judgment that's going to go throughout the whole world because it's the 120th year. Okay, so we experience a judgment. Now, Psalms 120 is the first psalm that is the psalm of ascent, to ascend up, mi'alah, which means to go up, okay? So this is how you go up to the temple, the 15 steps to meet with God. There are 15 psalms of ascent, okay? 15 of them. They all say in the Hebrew, Shir HaMa'alot, Shir HaMa'alot, Shir HaMa'alot, which means the psalm of the ascent, the psalm of the ascent. Only one of them says the psalm to ascend. And which one is that? Psalms 121, which is for the year 2021. It's remarkable that all of those psalms, none of them say the psalm to go up, except for one, and that's for 2021, okay? And so since the psalms were so accurate in 2020, we were lied to as a worldwide, can we now start to look at 2021, which says this is the psalm to go up, and it's the only psalm that says the psalm to go up.
Amen.
Okay. But let's not look, just look at that as the evidence. Where's my book at? Let me grab my book, Pastor Ben. We're going to look at more evidences.
10 minutes.
Okay. Okay. So the other thing we would have to not look at is 1948 to 2028. From 2021 to 2028, how many years do we have? Seven. 1948 to 2028 is the end of the generation. So if 7 years of tribulation and the church isn't going to be there, that means something has to happen in 2021 for the church not to be here until 2028, because 2028 talks about what? The return of Christ, gathering of the Jewish people. So we're not, this is the wonderful thing about the rapture is, you can talk about it, don't happen, but you know what? Pretty soon time runs out for you to talk about a timeline. And what I'm saying is that time has run out for us to keep coming up with timelines. Unless you start pushing the last generation out further, or you start pushing out the 6,000 years further, you can't. I did a study on the 6,000 years the other day, and every time I look at that thing, I say, this is just a remarkable thing that you showed me in 2003. And now that the 2028 is going to be 8 years after that, and the new beginning, I'm just looking at what's going to happen in this world. The whole world, and I've talked to when I was at the Jewish synagogue that was in Beverly Hills in 1948, because there were people there with the branding on from Hitler, right? One of the ladies just took to me. She still had it from when she was in the camps in Germany. She said, you know, people talked about it all the time, that the Jews were going to go back to Israel. He said, many people discussed it. And some of the other people that were at the church said, it was, and they were older people, they said, it was the big topic of the world that Israel was going to return to Israel. The Jews were going to return to Israel one day. But it hadn't happened. And they hadn't been there since 70 AD. But it was the big discussion, because if that happened, you know what it meant? God is real. It meant God is real. So until 1948 happened, when it happened, all the Christians around the world got excited about the fact that God proved that he was real and he brought Israel back into the land, and now they renamed it Israel. Christians were excited and they knew the Bible was real because something that had been talked about had finally happened. And this is what it seems to be when it comes to the rapture. Because as soon as the rapture happens, either you're going to believe the lie or you're going to believe what the Bible said and what that crazy pastor was talking about and what everybody on YouTube was talking about. When is the rapture? When is the rapture? It is the topic of today, right? But it won't become a reality until it happens. And then that's why so many people get saved during the tribulation.
Yeah.
In the scriptures, it says this. They were grinding at the mill. One was taken and the other one left. There's nobody grinding at the mill in the fall because they're collecting fruit.
Oh, that's right.
So the Bible is consistently telling you. So this is what we've looked at today. Amos talks about the end is coming because it is summer. And the word end and summer is the same word in Hebrew in pronunciation, okay? So in some way, God is telling you, it's like words and things is the same word in Hebrew. God is telling you, watch what you say because they manifest things, okay? End and summer are the same word in Hebrew, the same pronunciation in Hebrew. So he's telling, and then Christ comes and says, know that when this happens, that summer is near. He's telling them about the end, and he says summer is near. Why? Because he's in Amos. He says, he talks about, what do you see, Amos? I see a basket full of summer fruit. Kets. And he says, good, because the end is coming for my people. Then he goes to Amos, and then Amos says, to Jeremiah, and Jeremiah, the Jews say, the harvest is past and summer's over and we haven't been saved. So they refer to the summertime once again. Then we go to Micah, and God says, woe is me, the early fruit that I crave, summer is gone, right? The summer has passed because the early fruit he craved is the summer fruit. And it uses the same word, kids, which means the early summer fruit has passed. And he says, but righteous have disappeared from the earth. Mm-hmm. So he puts you right back in the summer, right back into Pentecost. And so now, tomorrow, when we put these words on the board and we talk about and we discuss how intricate God is making summer 7 years before the end of generation and trying to make it important to you so you see where you are in time, okay? Because at some time, the rapture is not going to be the subject. It'll be the history.
Amen.
It'll be the historical event. Okay? At some time, know how I know? Because all of God's word is like that. It all started off as the subject of the future. And it all ends up as the historical moment that happened. Okay? And the rapture is going to be the same way. We'll meet you guys tomorrow and we will talk about it and put the Hebrew up.
Amen. What time is Pastor Sandy?
11 o'clock, right?
Amen.
Amen.
Dr. Barry.
Dr. Barry.
He's online. He's in the house, Pastor.
Good. I love Dr. Barry.
Amen. Mr. Bones.
How are you, Mr. Bones?